This morning, please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. We're going to read verse 14, 15, and 16 to get started. We're going to concentrate this morning on verse 16. You may remember back to last Sunday, I brought a message entitled, The Salt of the Earth. We talked about verse 13 at length. Today, we're going to focus in on verse 16, and the title of this message is The Light of the World. There's a line in the song that we just sang that talked about, out of our life, Jesus should shine. All right? Fits very well with what we're talking about this morning, as you and I are supposed to be the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16 say this, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you to bless now the message as it goes forth. May our ears be open. May our hearts be receptive for what you have for us this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last message, and you notice in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. In this message, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Please notice once again, I pointed this out last week, but I pointed out again this morning. There's no suggestion here. There's no hope you will or would you consider being. There's nothing like that. It's just clearly stated, ye are blank. All right? First of all, ye are the salt of the earth. Secondly, ye are the light of the world. I don't know if you see it this way or not, but we should see it this way. And please don't take this in the wrong way, but we should see it this way. We don't have a choice. We are not given a choice here. God didn't suggest it. He didn't say, I hope you will consider this, or please think about being this. He just said simply, you are the light of the world, or you are the salt of the earth. This is what I have planned for you, in other words. I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be the light of the world. He told this to his followers, his disciples. And I believe through the word of God, he's telling us today that we are to be the light of the world. So we're going to learn about this wonderful truth today. And by the way, before I go too much further, one of the reasons why this light of the world is so important is because in another place in the Bible tells us that the whole world lieth in darkness. That's just picturing for us the sin and the evil and the wickedness that's out there in the world. You know, it's the exact opposite of the light. The light is the ways of the Lord. The light is righteousness. The light is following God's principles and God's word. The darkness is just, again, the opposite. Okay, the whole world lieth in darkness. So that's why this matter of you and I being the light of the world is so important. Someone needs to be showing the light. Okay? If all of us were trapped in a cave somewhere, and it was so dark in that cave that you could hold your hand up in front of your face and you couldn't see it. That's how dark it is. We're all trapped in a cave. And then, let's just say that someone remembers that one of us has a flashlight. We would be, even though we couldn't see each other because it's so dark, we would be shouting at whoever that was, turn on the flashlight. You know, let us see where we're going. Let us see the way out. Let us see our way back to the rest of the light that's out there. You know, it's so dark here. You and I are living in a world that's all wrapped up in the darkness. The whole world lieth in darkness. We have the light of the world. Amen. And because we have the light of the world living within us, we're supposed to let that light shine to the rest of the world that's nearby. We're not to hide it. Nowhere in the Bible does God say he wants us to be a silent witness. Nowhere in the Bible does God say he wants us to be a closet evangelist. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But it reminds us in several places that we're to let our light shine, or we're to let our light, our works, our good works be seen, or, you know, we are the light of the world. God tells us several places in his word that he wants us to show our life, show our light to other people, and let it shine. Now, I do understand, of course, that some people won't want to see the light. They won't want to see your good works. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, weren't we? Having gone to that wedding anniversary party, and you've faced this before, and I've faced it in other places as well. I'll not mention that, okay, but I will mention it about one of the things that my brother John and I were talking about was the school that we went to. You know, my first and second grade, this is how old I am. My first and second grade were in one of those one-room schoolhouses in a little bitty town called Eureka. And we had a sweet teacher there who I'm pretty sure was a born-again Christian. I didn't know it at the time, but come to find out later that she was a born-again Christian. Mrs. Sawalish, good godly lady, had a Bible on the corner of her desk. Also had a yardstick and a switch on the corner of her desk that she was not afraid to use. And in that days, of course, those days you could still do that and get by with it. I don't think you could do that yet today. But anyway, my first 2 years was in, and then they changed things up in the school system in Amro, and they started busing us to another school building, you know. And so they bused us to a school which at the time was a year or two old called Enterprise Elementary School. It was out in the country. Belonged to the Amro school system. And so instead of being able to walk to school, and you know how it was, right? It was 4 or 5 miles one way and 5 or 6 miles the other way, in snow, neck deep the whole way. But instead of being able to walk to school, we got to, and be there in just a few minutes, we got to ride a bus for an hour and be in a combined, you know, anyway. My brother John and I were talking about the fact, because he was behind me several years, but he also went to that same school. We were talking about Enterprise School because that's where the last couple of high school reunions were held for me. And not all that long ago, I went to my 50th high school reunion, and they had placards there, pictures of classmates who had already passed on, which was kind of sad. But we took a big group picture out inside the school and whatnot. My brother John and I were talking about how small the building seems today as to when we were, you know, much littler. Believe it or not, I was sitting in a classroom in Enterprise Elementary School the day that President Kennedy was shot and killed. And I remember that day announcement coming over the loudspeakers. They called all the teachers to the principal's office and told them first. Then they came back, and our teacher came back with tears just running down her cheeks, told us that our president had been killed, and of course they called off school the rest of the day and sent us all home and all that. But what a sad day that was. We were just recounting some of those memories yesterday at this. The reason I bring up the school and the high school reunion and so forth, because God has saved me, because God has called me to the ministry, because my other classmates in my high school graduation class know who I am and what I do. Most of them are cordial to me and they say hi to me, but they really don't want to spend a whole lot of time with me at the reunions. And that's really okay, because when they're there talking about what they're doing and what they have been doing last several years, you know, married several times, divorced and got, you know, all this, and they've been out drinking and dancing and doing all this. Well, I don't do all that stuff, you know. I still got the same bride that I had in the beginning. Amen. That is my plan, by the way. Amen. Aren't you happy?
I am.
She's very happy about this. Can you tell? Bubbling over with joy. But I don't drink and I don't dance and I don't chew and I don't run with those that do. So they don't have a whole lot of, they'll be cordial to me and all that, but they have asked me to pray for the meal.
Yes.
I've done that gladly. Try to insert the gospel, of course, while I'm praying. But this last time that we went, I'm way off my notes, but this last time we went, I met another couple that I found out they also have been saved. And so they wanted to spend time with me, and naturally I wanted to spend time with them. So at least you and I had someone to sit with and so forth. Anyway, that's how it is, though, when you come to know Christ as your Savior and you are now part of the light of the world, there's a lot of those who still walk in darkness. They don't necessarily want the light. So I'm just saying, we are the light of the world. That's what our Savior told us. And He wants us to be the light of the world. Okay, that's what He says He has for us to do. That's why He left us here. I do understand some people won't want it. I don't think we should try to force it on them. Think about the flashlight again. How do you like it when somebody takes a flashlight and just, you know, sticks it right up in your eye and won't let loose of that idea? I mean, that's horrible. And as it relates to you and I being the light of the world, we shouldn't force it on people. But I will say this, we should at least present it. Let me say it this way. They should know that we have the light of the world. They should know that there's something different about us. They should know, we're not forcing it on them, we're not jamming it down their throat, but they should know who we are and where we stand on these kind of things. That we are the light of the world. Don't you believe that those men who walked with Jesus originally during His 3-year ministry on the earth, don't you realize those disciples, when they were not with Jesus, when they were just in the community, don't you know that the people knew who they were? In fact, it says this in the Bible. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Shouldn't people know that about us? Again, we're not trying to force anything on anybody. But we are trying to represent Christ to the world, and we are trying to let our light shine before the rest of the world who's walking in darkness. We are doing our best, hopefully, to do that. So anyway, let's get into the passage here. Look at, again, at Matthew chapter 5, and verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." Notice this, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Well, we understand what that means, right? You build a city and it's right up top of a hill. How are you going to hide that? You can't hide that. People see it for miles around because it's set on a hill. Verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now, we understand what that means too, right? I'd hope there's nobody here who's ever lit a candle, literal candle, and put it under a bushel basket. Now, you're asking for more light when you do that, but it might turn into a blaze that you can't control. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, okay? But what you do is you light a candle and you put it on a candlestick, like the Bible says here, so that it can shine to all the house and give light to all that are in the house. Do you understand that in the book of Revelation, the candlestick reference refers to the local church? That's interesting. In Revelation, it talks about the 7 golden candlesticks, and it's representing the 7 churches of Asia. So the candlestick is closely akin to the local church. And it is important for every candle, that's you and I who are the light of the world, every candle to be on a candlestick or a part of a candlestick, part of a church, to be with other candles and sharing that light with the world around us. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing. Again, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." When you think about a candle under a bushel, that goes back to what I was saying before about being a silent witness or a closet evangelist. That's not why the Lord... Take this in the right way, but that's not why the Lord lit your wick. Friend, He lit your wick, literally gave you light, so that you could share it with other people. Again, not force it on them, but share it with other people. Make it available. If they don't want it, that's their choice. Early on in my Christian walk, I used to get so perturbed by people, and even feeling bad for myself concerning people who didn't want the light that I was trying to show them or share with them. It used to bother me a whole lot more than it does today. Now, don't get me wrong, it still bothers me, but not like it did years ago. Because God has made it clear to me that's their choice. God gives every person their choice. By the way, that's why when judgment day comes, and some are entered into heaven, of course, but others are cast into hell, they won't have anybody to blame but themselves, because they rejected the light that God gave them. When they reject the light, that's their decision, yes, but that's also their choice. It's a sad choice. It's a horrible choice. They'll regret it for all of eternity, but it's still their choice. So when someone rejects the light you're trying to share with them, please don't be offended. Don't take it so personally and seriously and all that. Naturally, you'd be saddened about that because we want everybody to go to heaven, right? But the truth is, not everybody's going to go. And we know this from the Gospels. The way into heaven is a narrow way. And you remember what it says next? Few there be that find it. But concerning the broad way into hell, many there be which go in thereat. So there'll be many more going into hell than there will be going into heaven. We just need to understand that and realize that. Our responsibility is to let the light shine so that others can see it, make it available. If they don't want it, that's their choice. Notice, please, as we go on, verse 16, this is where we're going to concentrate today. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the verse and just take it piece by piece. The first piece is, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. This tells me that we have been designed. We have been designed to live for Jesus in such a way that our light shines. We've been designed for this. It means we're to live our lives in such a way that men and women see Christ in us. They see the light in us. Oh, so many things I want to tell you. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm really not. I'm a Baptist from head to toe. But you know what I am first? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is the one who gave his life on the cross for me. He is the one who has saved me and forgiven me for my sins. He is the one who has made sure my name is forever sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. He is the one that I'm looking forward to meeting one day face to face and telling him 100, yea, 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 times, thank you, Lord, for saving me. He is the one that I'm going to spend eternity with in heaven. My first allegiance is to him because I'm a Christian. And he wants me to let that light shine so that others can see it. When they see us, please get this, when they see us, they really don't need to see us. They need to see Christ. They need to see Jesus. If they see Jesus, that's good. If they see us, that's not nearly as good. If I'm honest, I think if you're honest, a lot of times in life, what people see is us. Oh, friend, they need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus. We need to let our light shine. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Let your light shine. That suggests to me that I can hold it back. That suggests to me that I can cover it up. That suggests to me that I can keep it a secret. That suggests to me that I should pull off the blinds and pull back the curtains and just let it shine. Let your light shine. The Christian is to allow or let Jesus live in and through him or her. We can't properly represent him to the world if we don't let it shine. We must allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. You and I cannot help others come to faith in Christ, even close to how Jesus can bring others to faith in Christ. Does that make sense? If all they see is me, that's not going to point them to Jesus. But if they see Jesus in me, if they see that light that we're talking about, that's exactly what they need. Galatians 2, verse 20. Familiar with this verse? Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I live this life in the flesh, but it's not me, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Bible says. I need to let my light shine. Let your light so shine. Now, notice this. This phrase, this very first phrase says, let your light so shine. Remember the flashlight? If we're all in a dark cave somewhere, and we can't see even our hand in front of our face, we can't see each other, but we know we're all there, we can hear each other talking and so forth, and we remember that someone has a flashlight, and so we all holler at that someone, and we tell him to turn his flashlight on. Get it out of your pocket or your backpack or whatever it is. Get it out and turn it on, man. Turn it on so we can all see. And so whoever it is grabs it out of their backpack, and they flip the switch, and they turn on the light. But there's very little battery power. And so let me ask you this. Is the light shining brightly or dimly? Shining dimly, isn't it? Shame on us, number one, for not letting it shine. But shame on us, number two, for not letting it shine brightly. Let your light so shine. Shine. Let it shine. Let it be bright. Let it, listen, I put it this way in my notes. Let it be loud. And that's what I mean, bright. Just, you know, let it, so that nobody can miss it. Have you ever noticed this about the new headlights? The new headlights on some of the cars, they're almost blind you, right? When they come the other direction. You can always tell an older car that's coming at you because their lights are more yellow. And they're not nearly as bright. The newer cars and the newer lights, a lot of times they're shining right, it seems, right in your eyeballs. And they're bright, and you almost have to, because I was taught this when I went through driver's ed. I was going to say something about driver's ed, but I won't. When the lights are too bright or somebody's got their brights on, look down at that white line on the right side of the road and don't look right into the light because it'll blind you. So some of these new headlights, when they shine at you, I find myself looking at that white line on the right side of the pavement so that I don't get blinded by their light. But that's the idea. Let your light so shine. Let it be bright. Let it be loud. Let it be seen. Let others know that it's there. Nothing wrong with that. Let your light so shine. That means we're to live our lives out loud. Rebecca, isn't that the terminology that you use on the teens' Facebook page? Yep. Living out loud? You and I, all of us, need to live our lives out loud. We need to live our lives in such a way. Please understand, I'm not talking about forcing anything on anybody. I'm just saying that when people see us, they know who we are. They know where we stand. They know that we belong to Jesus. They know that we're Christians. The Bible says that they should know that we're Christians. It teaches us that. And so let your light so shine. Look at the verse again. Verse 16. Let your light so shine. That was the first piece. The second piece is before men. Before men. Now, please know that includes women, okay, and children. But it's talking about before humanity. Let your light so shine before men. Those two words, before men, define for us the field. And where is the field? It's the world. Okay? By the way, it's one thing for you and I to let our light so shine inside the church. And we do that. And nothing wrong with that. But where it's really needed is out there, outside these four walls, outside this building. Your faith, my faith is really needed out there. The field is the world. And we're to let our light so shine for the Lord Jesus before this world of humanity that the Bible says all lies in darkness. Okay? The two words before men defines not only the field, but it also defines the scope. The scope. And what I mean by that is the scope of our shining is meant to be before, you ready? All men. Before all men. In other words, you and I don't get to pick and choose. Well, I'll let it shine here, but I won't let it shine over here. I'll let it shine when I'm at home, but not when I'm at work. Or I'll let it shine at work, but not when I'm with my relatives. Or I'll let it shine with my relatives, but not when I'm in the grocery store. You understand what I'm saying? You don't get to pick and choose. You let your light shine all the time. The scope is before the world, the whole world, all of humanity. We're not supposed to pick and choose. We're supposed to let our light shine before everyone that we deal with. Notice again, these two words, before men, defines the field, that's the world, but defines the scope, all men, and it also defines the location. Because did you see what it says, those two words, before men? Before. The word before means in front of. Not behind them, not after they've left, you know, but in front of them, face to face, where they can see it, in other words. Let your light so shine before men, before them, in front of them, when they're watching, when they can see what you're doing. It's not meant to be hidden. Remember verse 15? City set on a hill cannot be hid. Men don't light a candle, put it under a bushel. Again, before men. So, we're taking it apart piece by piece. First piece, let your light so shine. Second piece, before men. Third piece, in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works. You see, friend, the light that you and I have that we allow or let to shine for Jesus is speaking about our testimony, our reputation. It's what people really know about us. It's what people really know about us. Your testimony, your reputation. Please don't get upset with me when I tell you this. But your testimony and mine, and your reputation and mine, is not what we say about ourselves. Your testimony and mine, your reputation and mine, is what others say about us. You don't have to answer out loud, but just think about this. What are they saying? That's a good question. What are they saying? Don't you wonder? Every once in a while, you'll have this happen too, I'm sure. Every once in a while, I'll walk up to someone that I've just met. You know, I'm walking up, I'm just meeting this person. And they'll tell me so-and-so has been telling me things about me. And my first response is almost always the same. Well, hopefully it was good things. And most of the time they'll say, yeah, it was good things. Every once in a while, there'll be some cranky person. Eh, they'll give you a hard time about it. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Do you ever wonder what people are saying? You know, I mean, people that know you. I'm always surprised. I bet you are too. When I meet somebody who already knows who I am, and I'm just meeting them. And then again, I wonder, what do they know about me? What have they heard about me? What is my testimony with them? What is my reputation with them? What do they really think about me? See, all of us have a reputation and a testimony. All of us do. For some people, it's not so good. I don't mean anybody here. I'm just thinking in general. For some people, it's not so good. But other people, it's wonderful. Let me ask you this. If I mention the name Don Sisk, does a good reputation come to mind? I think for most of us it does, those of us who know him. Or if I mention John R. Rice, or if I mention Charles Spurgeon, or if I mention D.L. Moody, or You know, some of the great men from the past, if I mention names like that, for most of us, there'd be good reputations, good testimonies that come to mind. What if I mentioned Mussolini, Hitler? What if I mentioned, a name came to mind, I better leave that one out. Sorry, Tom. I'm just teasing. What if I mentioned Ted Bundy? Some of you might remember this name. What if I mentioned Ed Gein? You see what I'm saying? There's certain names that when they're said, the reputation comes to mind and it's not good. All of us have a reputation and a testimony. This is what we're talking about, letting your light so shine. By the way, this is another reason why I want to finish well. Because I don't want to have a good reputation and a good testimony for most of my life, but toward the end, he really fell off, you know. He really went off into sin. He really went off into immorality. He really did something wicked. I don't want that. I want to finish well. So your reputation and your testimony and so forth has to do with letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, okay? That's where it comes from. Your life, you're stacking. You ready for this? You're stacking one day upon another day upon another day, which finally turns into weeks, which finally turns into months, which finally turns into years. You understand what I'm saying? You have this reputation that you've built. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. How long does it take to build a good reputation? Your whole life. How long does it take to ruin it? That quick. Again, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. This verse assumes that we will live our lives for the Lord, letting our light shine by letting others see our good works. Okay? Notice, please, that it assumes that people are watching. By the way, they are. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It assumes that they're watching, and we are constantly being watched by those around us. Some of those folks that are watching us are saved, but some of those people that are watching us are not saved. So those who are not saved, is your life pointing them towards Jesus or away from Jesus? And those people that are saved who are watching, is your life pointing them towards, you know, more faithful walk with the Lord or less faithful walk with the Lord? All good things to think about. What do they see when they watch us? Another good question. Notice the verse again. We're taking it apart piece by piece. We're almost done. Let your light... Got the idea again about allowing this to happen? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now notice this, the last part. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the reason for this whole matter of being the salt of the earth, but especially being the light of the world, which we're talking about today. This is the reason behind it all. We are to let men see our good works in order that they would end up glorifying our Father, which is in heaven. Some of the things I told you earlier, if you were here in the first hour when we were having our adult class, about this 50th wedding anniversary that we went to, my wife and I, yesterday for one of my cousins. I sat down at the table with my brother John and my brother Fred and his wife and his son, Reed, and we were eating and fellowshipping and so forth, and we were just talking about how good and how gracious and kind God has been in our family, because all of my siblings, there were nine of us total when it was all finished, there were nine of us, and God saved all of us, one by one, of course. God put several of us in the ministry. God has each and every one of us involved in an independent Baptist church, serving in some capacity. And we were just marveling in how good and how gracious and how kind and how wonderful our Savior has been to us, because there's not a one of us. And I'm speaking on behalf of all my siblings. Of course, my mom and dad are in heaven already, but not a one of us feel like we deserve what God has done for us. We do not deserve it. We know that. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. There's no personal credit taken whatsoever. And we were marveling at how good and how gracious and kind God has been to us. One of the things I mentioned to my brother John was, I said, John, do you remember when we were children? We were Lutherans. We were unsaved. John, do you remember when we were children, Dad made us sit down, all of us as a family, in the living room and listen to Billy Graham preach God's word every time he came on television? We were unsaved Lutherans. And he made the whole family sit down and listen to Billy Graham on television. And John said, yeah, I remember that, Mark. I didn't understand it. I didn't even know why Dad made us do that. In fact, at the time, I didn't like it. But John agreed with me. God was planting seeds in our heart. And I don't mind telling you this. In fact, I just thank God for this. It's because of that that my sister Pauline, who died of cancer in 1969, it's because of us sitting down as unsaved Lutherans and watching Billy Graham on television, it's because of that that she, one of those times, trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And when the invitation was given, and you remember, you've seen it on television, flocks of people come towards the altar. Dying of cancer, she prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to save her. None of us knowing it at the time. Until she was near her death, my dad at her bedside, talking with her about things that he had learned in his search, because he wanted to make sure that his daughter was going to go to heaven when she died. We all knew she was going to die. She said, Dad, you don't have to worry about that. Remember when you made us watch Billy Graham on TV? One of those days, I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Amen. That very day, he knelt down by her bed and received Jesus as his personal Savior. And it's because of that, I got saved. And because of that, all my siblings one by one got saved. My mother was the last one to trust Jesus as her Savior. She's in heaven today, and I'm positive as I'm standing here, she's so glad she made that decision, though she was the last holdout in the whole family. I remember her saying, Sarah, do you remember this? First time I brought my bride home, my mom said to me and to Sarah, watch out for Dad. Don't let him corner you with that Bible. She was the lone holdout. But she did get saved. And I'm thankful for that. I'm only saying all this that I've just told you over the last couple of minutes is because of the light that shone literally through that television set, helped my sister Pauline to come to know Christ as her Savior, helped my dad then to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and him, it would be, I think 3 years later, he would finally, I think I was the next one, he would reach me with the gospel message. So there were 3 years there where I got to see the changes in his life. I didn't understand it. I got to be honest with you, if I'm totally honest, I'm standing up here, I did kind of stay away from him, you know, because I didn't want him nailing me with all that Bible stuff either. All right? But I got saved eventually. And then, of course, each one of my siblings, as I mentioned. And now all these years I've been in the ministry, I've been telling others how to be saved. What is this? Where are you leading with all this, Pastor? It's because of the good works. It's because of the letting your light so shine before men. It's because of all of that light shining and that influence and that testimony and that reputation that's passed down from person to person to person that influences people like Pauline, like my dad, like myself, like others who've come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Friend, that's why we're supposed to let the light shine. What happens then when people get saved? God the Father is glorified in heaven. God the Father is glorified. Pauline's been in heaven since 1969. In 2009, my brother David left this earth and went to heaven. 6 years ago, my mom went to heaven. 5 years ago, Dad went to heaven. Do I have it right? My dad got to witness to so many of, like, his mom and dad. They got saved. They went to heaven. My uncle is in heaven, and his wife, they're in heaven because my dad witnessed to them, and they got saved. Bruce and Donna, we went to their 50th anniversary yesterday. They got saved because of the witness and testimony of my dad. And my dad got to witness to a lot of our family members on his brother's side, his brother Norm's side. And many of them come to know Jesus as their Savior. And it's all because of, again, letting your light shine, letting the good works be seen by others. And that long-lasting reputation and testimony of good works and so forth. And when those men and women get saved, and especially when they graduate onto heaven, God the Father is glorified. The results, the reason is so that God would be glorified. The results are that others will end up in heaven. Heaven will be populated by men and women, boys and girls who come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You may not like this next statement. It's quite convicting, but I'm going to tell you what it says. I got into my notes here. It was convicting to me. Often the reason for our lack of converts is our failure to let our light shine. It goes back to that illustration I gave you about all of us being in a deep, dark cave and nobody has a flashlight. We can't find our way out. Or someone's got a flashlight, but it's in their backpack and they won't pull it out and turn it on. And we can't find our way out. How many people are walking in darkness today and can't find their way out because Christians won't let their light shine? If we shine for Jesus like He wants us to, like He intends, men and women, boys and girls will see the light and come towards the light and become partakers of the light themselves. And when that happens, God the Father in heaven is glorified. So notice again our text, and I'll wrap this up. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Please understand, my friend, a couple of things, and I'll be done. First of all, please understand this. I love you. Nothing that has been said today is to make you angry or make you upset or step on anyone's toes or anything like that whatsoever. I would not do that. I love you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage myself to let our light shine. The whole world is lying in darkness. The whole world is, they don't realize it maybe, but they're looking for a way out. Shame on us when we don't let the light shine. That is their way out. So again, it's meant to encourage all of us, myself included, to let our light shine. I hope that the message has done that today. I hope that this is not a discouraging message, but an encouraging message. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking. Father, thank you for this time that we've spent together today. What a wonderful passage. I have looked at last week's message and this week's message as I've worked on them over the last couple of weeks. And looked at them and looked at them and looked at them, both my notes and also the Bible verses themselves. And you know, Lord, I've asked you several times to help me. I hope that this has done what you intended it to do in our lives today, that it would be an encouraging message, both of them, to encourage us to be salt, to encourage us to be light, to encourage us to have that testimony and that reputation for the Lord Jesus with our good works, that would by that draw people to Jesus Christ and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I believe that's the reason you left us here, so that we could be salt, so that we could be light, so that our light would shine. Oh God, please make it so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.